Well, we are talking about our quiet time, keeping a quiet time. And this is part two. We went over pretty much my concept of what I try to get done in my quiet time. And so we want to build on that a bit. We're keeping the same text. Psalm 143, 8 to 10, cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. Where would he hear that? See, God didn't stand on a hill talking to him. He went to the Word of God. For in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. Walking is that rather interesting picture of walking through our life, of going through. We perhaps don't do that much walking in the modern day. We get in the car and go, but the idea of walking through our life, finding what's up ahead and we didn't know around the corner, because help me to know the way wherein I should walk. How should I go? For I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee, or hide me with thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. So the idea here of loving God, being saved by God, but also finding that best way of life that is the product of following God. So let me ask some questions and develop the idea of a quiet time. First of all, when to have a quiet time? Actually, finally, it doesn't matter. You need to plan a quiet time every day. And that's the goal. Have it every day. Keep at it until it becomes habit. Habit means that at a certain period of time, whenever you've chosen, you go to your appointed place and you have this. And it just feels like that's what you ought to do. It becomes habitual. Generally, they tell us, we must do something daily for 2 or 3 weeks before it becomes a habit. So you just schedule it, you just make it happen, and in this you might have to change the times, might change the places, but you're going to experiment with it until you find a time that will work for you. Then remember that if you do miss a day, you're not to give up in disgrace. Ah, I couldn't do it. Just take it up again the next day. In a week's time, 3 or 4 days in a week are much better than none at all. So just always be ready to get back to it. Then choose perhaps a general rather than specific time of the day that will help you establish your habit. This could be an o'clock timing. It could be a time you set on your cell phone as an alarm. It could be once I finish breakfast, or once I finish my getting up and getting ready, exercise, and sit down to breakfast, that's when I'll have it. You could arrange it according to a time, an event, I should say. And then recognize that there is no absolute definite way of doing it. For instance, the author of the longest psalm, which is Psalm 119. That's what we said. Oh, okay. I thought I heard 118. That's a short one. Psalm 119, the author of the longest psalm kept several prayer times. He says, 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Now, praise thee doesn't mean he was having his devotions, but it was a time that he set aside for talking about God to God. Daniel, you remember, was very dedicated in his quiet time practice, Daniel 6:10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing forbidding this was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, Solomon, in the dedication, had asked God, please, if we are bad and you take us away to some foreign country, if we turn toward this temple and pray, would you hear these prayers? And Daniel took that So his windows being open in the chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. So his quiet time with God was 3 times a day by the open window facing Jerusalem. And you remember that he did not keep his devotions a secret. He was a busy man, I'm guessing. He was very high up in the government. But part of that day, 3 times a day, that was his scheduled time to go home and spend whatever time he spent doing that. So that was his secretary or secretaries knew this and perhaps would say, Daniel, it's about time for you to head over to your house. So he didn't keep it a secret. Daniel 6:13. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day. They're just telling his secret life. See, he didn't do this so that people would notice, but people noticed. And then Jesus himself considered prayer a very important part of his day. How busy was Jesus? Thousands of people gathered to be healed by him. Mark 1:35, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. So you say, well, I don't know how much time I have, but I want you to form an attitude toward the quiet time. Think of your daily quiet time as an oasis of warm fellowship with your loving Father in a weary land, in a dry land of coldness and apathy. Warm your heart at the devotional time with your Father. And then let me just say, to close, improving your quiet time. Things that you can do that will make it better. First is choose a place. So it is best to have a regular place to meet with God. We are people of habit, and if you go to that place at a regular time, you will automatically set your attitude into a devotional attitude, into a prayerful attitude, in a God-dealing attitude. This will be, like you made an appointment with God, you know he's going to be there waiting on you, and you come and meet him there and at that time. Matthew 6:6, but thou, when thou prayest, don't stand in front of the crowd so everybody can see you, how holy you are. Entereth into thy closet. When thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. The reward is open, but the praying to God is secret. We do not pray so that others will notice. Others might notice. I've read the testimony of wonderful men of God who grew up hearing in their small home their father in his closet praying, and sometimes the voice rising up in a tearful pleading with God that save my son, And this was a private prayer, and everybody kind of tiptoed around the house because they didn't want to. This was a holy time, you see. Dad was talking to God. So people will notice, and God will reward you openly. But recognize this isn't to be seen of men. Christ says that these are the hypocrites. The word hypocrite means an actor. And what do actors get when they do their acting job, right? And they get the applause. And he says they do it to be seen of men. And when they are seen of men, they have their reward. Oh, well done. Well done. Very, very good prayer. Very holy, And they're actors, and they got the applause. Don't be that person. So the place becomes part of the process of getting your heart and mind ready to listen to God. You can keep your materials there and find them easily. The place should be, preferably, quiet, secluded if possible. Christ calls it a closet, a word for meaning is small room. On the other hand, when I did not have a place, I used a certain chair in the living room as my place. And there was a table next to it, and I kept my things there, Bible and my notebook. So that's where I would go and perhaps mention to my wife, I'm going to be spending some time with God now. What is most important is that the place be the same if that's possible, if your life and schedule can allow that. Another suggestion is keep a journal. I started a journal when I was in junior high or high school, and I dedicated it to Johnny Yuma. He was a cowboy on TV who kept a journal. I didn't want to have a diary. Girls had diaries. But he had a journal, and he was a tough guy. So Johnny Yuma was a rebel. He roamed through the way. Anyway, so I had a journal, and I dedicated it to him. But forgive me the idea of calling it a journal. But it was interesting later to go back and see. I was quite busy with various things. I was in Youth for Christ after school and other things, and began to see, good grief, just how busy I was and how often my mother had to take me here and take me there and all this. But it was a good thing to do that. But this journal is primarily a prayer journal. So find a legal pad or a spiral notebook, and during the get ready for school days, you go to Target or Walmart or something, and you find these little spiral notebooks, 8.5 by 11, and there you go. Or buy them from Olivia when she decorates them. My wife has one for her music, and Dave has one. So, yeah. But they're not very expensive. Well, they're more expensive after Olivia decorates them. But it's well worth it, by the way. I'll pick some up. I would do that so often that I now find that I have a stack this high of unused spiral notebooks, and trying to save money of what I've done is overdone it. But I don't have to buy them for a long time now. And I liked them black. I just liked them black. But I have some dark blue, but I couldn't find the black. The thing about the journal is that you can jot down things you've learned in your devotions. And this will be great value to you. This will be a recording of wisdom as you go back to look at it, as you might, because you want to remind yourself of those things. And then practice recording your thoughts so that you can review them later or share them with friends. And then do not be deceived into thinking you will always remember the things that God is teaching you. So the journal would help you keep track of what God is teaching you and help you to think it through more than just the time that it was given. And then finally, keep a prayer list. You can do this right in that same journal. Another thing is that you might want to do something I've encouraged people to do, and take a regular sheet of paper, typewriter paper, printer paper, fold it in half, fold it in half, fold it in half. Then it fits into your shirt pocket or purse or whatever. And it has then a bunch of different sides. So you write on one side. So, and I'll just say it this way, let God lead you in making a prayer list. There are times that somebody will mention, we get our prayer request, prayer chain note, and my goal is that when I answer saying praying, unless I'm the one who sent it to Angie and then I already did my praying, But as soon as I get it, I take the time to pray right then so that I don't, because that's the way my mind works. I go on to the next thing and I forget what I was doing before. So if you've made any promise of praying, if somebody said, would you pray for that? And you say, yes. Then as soon as you have any time alone, answer that promise and go to prayer. Take that to God. So let God lead you in making a prayer list. Now, what we have here in our thing is 4 pages of notes. That's probably too long for your personal prayer list. It's not at all bad for you to use this one, or perhaps to mark this one as your personal prayer time, but don't have a list so long that it defeats you. So, well, who do I have to? Oh man, I don't have that much time. You know, just defeats you. But make it something that you can pray every day. You can take to God in this thing. Then some people have a long list, but they divide it into 7 parts for the 7 days of the week. These are people that you're praying for all the time. So I would say family, friends, that type of thing, and divide it up. And then sometime when you have your personal devotion time, sometime that day, you will pray for that part of the list. I was talking to a man that I taught in school, and he was retiring as a pastor, and makes you realize how old you are. Your students are retiring, and you're still going, but the idea was, he said, I pray for you every week. And he said he's divided his prayer time into his church members. That was one list. And then men of God that he knew, and I was on that list. And then missionaries. So he had a large list, but he had it divided up like that. And he would pray for, he had a day for praying for the missionaries. He had a day for praying for men of God that he knew. Others, rather than divide it into 7 parts, keep the list only for a week or so and then make a new one. So in that thinking, you're just going with the requests that you have received, the requests that have been pressed upon you, somebody talking to you and say, well, I'm a little concerned about that. And you say, I'll pray for you. I'd be happy to pray for you. And you jot that down on your little piece of paper or get it to your journal and or diary, whatever you want to call it. And the idea there is that you have a reminder to yourself to be faithful to the promise of praying. The important part is remembering the names and the causes for which you promise to pray. Don't be quick to promise and then just blow it off. So keep the lists. And that is, don't throw the previous list away. Set it someplace, the box of old prayer lists. And then when you hear that a prayer has been answered, dig that out, find it, mark it, put a date down, and now you have just a tangible proof that prayer works. This becomes a powerful tool in building your faith because you say, prayer works, I know it, I have the proof right here. So, some ideas on improving your quiet time. Find the place, find a time, keep a journal, and be faithful in that. Make it a habit. Does this bring up any comments or questions? All right.